7:8. I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, Lord, send me.
Brothers and sisters, peace and blessings and shalom to you. This is your brother, Elder V, and you are tuned in to Arms at Last Ministries, and this is Wednesday night being our Bible study and precept night, known as Through Thy Precepts I Get Understanding. That's right. So it's important through the middle of the week. We just want to get into the scriptures. There's a lot going down in our world, in our society. You know, I pray that you're staying afloat, you're keeping your focus, you're keeping these commandments, you're not being distracted, and you're not taking the easy way out, because you know you've got to discipline yourself, discipline your body to come out from amongst this world and stop trying to self-medicate yourself just to get through. We will get through this thing just by persevering. This is not a sprint, but the one that endures to the end will make it. And we've got to have faith, brothers and sisters, despite what we see going on with presidential elections and all that. Now, I like to dedicate my studies to just that, depending on what the theme is for that night. So the Most High willing, you tune in tomorrow and we'll talk about what's going on with current events, health and wellness, presidential election, all the distractions from rock stars dying on drugs, like they say, whatever, and everything else that's out there to distract you, the illness, the pandemics, the sickness. We'll cover all that and let you know what you should do. More importantly, tonight we talk about the things that should increase and build your faith so that you have connectivity and that you're tuned in to the Emergency Channel Network. That is tuned in to the Most High. But he will give us instructions on what to do in that final second. Not that final hour, that final minute, because we're living in that. That final second. He will give us instructions if we are truly a part of that remnant and are willing to keep his commandments. And with that being said, it's a perfect segue on what I want to talk about this evening. And it's important to me because I'm finding so many people that are trying to take the easy way out, combat me and fight me about the statutes, laws, and commandments. And this is not about me. It's about what the scripture said. And it's been misinterpreted through modern day Christianity. You've been lied to. You've been deceived, and more so because ignorance is bliss. You prefer to be just like our forefathers that fell into these sins. You want to find the easy way out because you don't want to keep the laws and commandments. You pretty much want to do what the hell you want to do. Well, we're going to get into that tonight. We're going to talk about the fact that the confusion and traps behind Paul's letters, its purposes, its reasoning, because there is good there. There is good, but there is plenty that can be a stumbling block to many people, as it has become, causing them to be turned over to their own illusions and fantasies. We even got a brother out here in California that's a part of a major camp that's teaching the people now that the only reason you're under the curses is because you choose to keep the laws, as opposed to being like the Gentiles and just walking by faith, and then that way you won't be under the curses. So he's telling people, if you don't want to deal with these curses, then don't keep the laws. So we know exactly what is waiting for that brother, but I'm here to let those people know that do not allow these false prophets to lie to you, to tell you to not keep the laws. If I were you, I'd pack my bags and run fast as hell away from that camp. The day of the camp is over. Most High is revealing a lot of the falsehoods, the lies about tithing, the lies about paying your money, sowing your money, wearing certain outfits, working on the Shabbat to build their camps and to build their numbers and their offering and to build their brand. There's an apocalypto happening, and that's the revealing and the uncovering of the lies. The remnant will come forth in this hour. And we'll talk about this new covenant misunderstanding. So there's quite a few scriptures that we're going to go in on tonight. If you want to call in because you have questions or you have a comment, the guest call in number is 213-769-0910. That's 213-769-0910. And without any further delay, because I've got quite a few scriptures I want to talk about tonight, I'm just going to go straight through. We'll take a short break somewhere towards the middle. And with all that being said, let's go ahead and let's get started. And the first thing I want to look at this evening is Matthew's, the 5th chapter and the 17th verse. Matthew's 5 and 17 reads like this. This is Yeshua HaMashiach, who you call Jesus Christ, talking to the disciples. And he's making it clear because he's teaching about the law. And he's saying, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets, meaning the Tanakh. He's saying, I did not come to do away and destroy the Torah or the Tanakh, which is what most people tell you, that he's our rest, and now that's all done away with. The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, the Sabbato, Sabbaton, seventh day, that was never changed. There's no scripture supporting that it was changed. And he didn't do away with that, which is why he said, remember it, because he knew the people would definitely forget to keep the Sabbath or change the day or try to tell you that every day is a Sabbath rest. I mentioned that because that's one of the laws. Christ is making it clear that he did not come to destroy this. There's no way to go around that or even try and alter that. He said, but I came to fulfill it. The Tanakh is loaded with prophecies, so he is the fulfillment of the prophecies from the prophets that was spoken of throughout the Tanakh. And the Torah was a preparation. He spoke of him. When he said he came to redeem us from the curse of the law, he said he came to redeem us from what the consequences were for breaking the laws. The majority of the laws, you were stoned to death for breaking those commandments and laws. Now we have grace. But we're going to talk more about that. I'm just going to run through these precepts, and I won't give a lot of my own personal words this evening. I'm going to let these precepts speak for the topic. Matthew 5 and 18, "But verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot and one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." He said, not until heaven and earth passes, not one jot or tittle from the law will pass away until it has all been fulfilled. And we know it has not all been fulfilled. It has not all been fulfilled. All of the prophecies in the Tanakh, which you call the Old Testament ignorantly, has not been fulfilled. Verse 19, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach," listen to this, this is key, because this is what you have going on in your churches now, because nobody wants to keep the commandments and laws. And we're going to get into why that's taking place. Matthew 5 and 19, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So there you have it there. And you're teaching people that you don't have to keep the commandments. You will be called the least, but them that are teaching the commandments shall be called the greatest. Why do you think that is? It's right out there. It's right in your face. And you will tell people that we don't have to keep the law. Let's move forward. Let's go to Matthew 5 and 48. You still have Yeshua HaMashiach, who we call Jesus Christ, saying, Matthew 5 and 48, he says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which in heaven is perfect." Now, we know this world has taught us to say nobody's perfect, nobody can be perfect. But the Most High and Christ gave us a commandment to be perfect. Why is that? Because of Psalms 19 and 7. "For the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul of man." Perfection can be achieved once you start striving to keep the commandments, for perfection is in keeping the commandments. So when he says, "Be ye perfect," he's taking you back to Psalms 19 and 7, which is, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul of man." Therein lies your perfection. Go with me to Romans 9, the 9th chapter. Romans 9 says, Romans 9, 3 through 5. "For I could wish that myself were accursed." This is Paul talking, because we're going to start to get into Paul to better understand who you always use to do away with the law and not understand why you even use Paul and what he was laid there for. But let's look at Paul speaking. Romans 9, 3 through 5. "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." Now, who are his kinsmen and brethren according to the flesh? Not the spirit, not spiritual Israel, the flesh. Verse 4 tells us, "Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the sacrifice of God and the promises." Paul tells you right there that the covenant and the laws and the promises were all given to the Israelites who were his brothers in the flesh, not this New Age spiritual theology, replacement theology, spiritual Israelites. No, the Israelites exist. This is after Christ ascended. This is Apostle Paul talking, and he's confirming that these laws and statutes and commandments were given to the Israelites only. Verse 5, "Whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. So many of us get confused about the covenants and not understanding. Oh, I'm under the new covenant. I'm not with that old covenant. I think you're speaking of Jeremiah 31 and 31. Let me read that for you. And then I'm going to give you a precept. Let's look at Jeremiah 31 and 31. Because he was prophesying to Tanakh. That's why he said he would not destroy it. He did not come to destroy it. He came to fulfill it. When you read Jeremiah 31 and 31, the prophecy tells you this. Behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with who? Not replacement theology. Not the Gentiles. It says, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. You say you don't believe that? Well, let's go to what you call the New Testament, and let's look at Hebrews 8 and 8. Hebrews 8 and 8 says this. For finding fault, well, let me start at 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, and not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, said the Lord. And he said, I will put my laws to their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people, in verse 10, letting you know that he would continue it, but he's going to make sure that it's inside of us. How could we be such a, how can we still be such a hard-headed, stiff-necked, rebellious people and go out of our way to seek to not have to keep these commandments by misinterpreting the scriptures, misinterpreting Peter's dream with the unclean animals laid out on the apron, and trying to find anything we can do to not have to do certain things, as opposed to in this hour we should be trying to find out how much more can we do to get closer to the Most High, to make sure that we're shored up when he returns, as opposed to how much do I not have to do? How much can I get away with? That is the wrong mindset, which is a scary mindset if you ask me. You've got people that are constantly caught up into replacement theology, and I'm going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Galatians 3 and 28, but before we go there, I want to deal with the fact that you have someone, and I'm dealing with this, that's teaching out of Galatians 3 and 10, misunderstanding the scriptures. Everybody's not supposed to be teaching. Not everybody's supposed to be lording over people, which is why he said those that teach false doctrine will be beat with many stripes on their way to hell for misleading the people and causing the sheep to be scattered and destroying the Most High's people. How can somebody take Galatians 3 and 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse? For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Misinterpreted. We're going to talk a little bit about Paul. I'm going to help you to see some things real quick. Let's take a look at something. Paul's letters cause confusion because the Most High gives us a choice, and he will not force us. But in order for there to be a choice, there has to be a left and a right. There's not going to be just one thing to choose from. That's not choice. That's forcing it upon you. There's always an alternative because he wants you to serve him with a free will. And common sense through psychology will let you know that free will is determined by you choosing an alternative, meaning there has to be something that's different. There's a separate. There's a left. There's a right. And our hearts, we choose. We prove him by choosing the right way and abstaining from the things he tells us to abstain with. That's why there's only going to be a remnant. And this is a weeding out process. Now let's go back in time and take a look at this. I heard Brother Jacob even talk about this, and I want to echo this. Look at this. Go to Deuteronomy 8 and 2. Let's look at our forefathers to learn a lesson, to see how he established this early on. And we see that nothing has changed with our people. The hard-headed, stiff-necked, and just rebellion. In Deuteronomy 8 and 2, we see that. It says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee. There it is right there. Let me tell you something. The trip from Egypt to the Promised Land was actually only going to take anywhere from 3 to 7 days to get there. But he caused them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because it was a weeding out process. And do you know that whole generation didn't make it in? Only their children made it in. And Joshua and Caleb, do you know Moses didn't even make it in? All he could do was see the Promised Land, but he couldn't go because he disobeyed the Father. Do you understand how serious that is? And Moses was a great man. Who do you think you are? And he didn't make it in. Let's read that again. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments. Do you hear this? He wanted to see if you would keep his commandments. The Most High will prove you. He made them wonder. What makes you think that we don't have a stumbling block now to see if, despite what these churches, these ministries, these pastors are telling you, that the commandments are done away with, the Sabbath is done away with, you don't have to keep it. They're speaking like Gentiles because the Gentiles have taught them in their seminary schools, and they're echoing that to us, and we strive to be like the Gentiles, and we don't want to accept the fact that we're Israel because we're asleep. We've been caused to forget who we are, and we want to be like these people and don't want to keep these commandments. And the cry unto our people who have been abused, don't know their history, have been scattered, have been beaten, have been in slavery, taunted and persecuted, still to this day struggling, and nobody can help you and will help you, is because your history is the Bible. This compilation of scrolls depict the sojourn of a people, and it is your history book. And you don't want to come back to it. 40 years. I want to read Deuteronomy 8 and 2 one more time. Listen closely. And then I want you to correlate that. Make it relevant to our time. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Why? To humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. And they did not do it. Let's move on to the next one. Go to Deuteronomy 1, first chapter. Let's get another precept. Deuteronomy 1 and 34, we find this. And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Let's keep reading. And also the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou also shalt not go in hither. This is Moses talking. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in. So encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit the land. Not you, Moses, because even you disobey. And then moreover, your little ones, which he said should be a prey, that they thought would be destroyed by the other Gentile nations and the wild animals, they're the ones going in. That first generation was killed off and destroyed. And your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess the land. So we see here that they'd make it because they didn't keep the commandments. He wanted to prove them, and they didn't do it. What makes you think that there's the misunderstanding in these scriptures that are not testing you and proving you to see if without a shadow of a doubt you will keep these commandments despite what some preacher, some false teacher, some false camp, some false pagan Christianity pastor or bishop is telling you not to do? When you know in your heart of hearts, because he's written these commandments in your hearts, and the Ruach is telling you that you must hunker down and keep these commandments. Let's look at Judges. Let's go to Judges 3. I'm just going through some of these precepts, and then I'm going to get to my point. But you probably pretty much are starting to see and get the point. Judges 3, 1 through 8. Now, these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel. Once again, he had to prove them because we went into captivity and he tried to prove us again. He kept giving us chance after chance. Even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war at the least, such as before knew nothing thereof. And they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. Namely, five lords, the Philistines, verse 3, Judges says, the Philistines, the Canaanites, the Sidonians, the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Bel Hermon unto the entering of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. This is what is happening, brothers and sisters. He wants to prove us. And we still want to be like these Gentile nations. We are a part of every denomination that's on the face of the earth. We want to worship every other god, be caught up in the yoga, transcendental meditation. We want to be like pagan Christians and keep their holidays, Christmas and Easter, and worship their pagan gods and denounce the scriptures and denounce our history and denounce what he gave our people, because we are the people, according to Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 68, lets you know we are the people. And Revelations 2 and 9 and Revelations 3 and 9 lets you know that those people that are imposters over there in Israel that tried to steal our heritage, our land, and our fame, of the synagogue of Satan, based upon 1948, the Balfour Treaty that placed them in that land. Do your research. Let's look at Jeremiah. Move to the next precept. Jeremiah 6, 19 through 22. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, not to my law, but rejected it. The Most High will bring curses and evil on you if you reject the laws and curses. Don't believe this teaching about somebody saying because you keep the laws, now the curses are going to be on you. No, he made it clear that if you keep the laws in Deuteronomy 28, that these curses won't be in you. Now, we're still in captivity, but for those that begin to adhere and are inclined and integrate themselves into keeping Sabbath and commandments, you will find blessings begin to come upon your household and your life. We are still in this captivity, but your circumstances will change based upon him keeping his principles, and he's a God that cannot lie, based on Deuteronomy 28. Let me continue to read Jeremiah 6, 19 through 22. Verse 20, to what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and this came from a foreign country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Therefore said the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. That means, listen clearly, the fathers and the sons. He's talking about present, past, and future generations will fall upon the stumbling blocks that the Most High will lay there to prove his people to see if you're going to keep his commandments. He's making it clear. Verse 22, thus said the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses set in array as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. That is the captivity that we are in now that he is describing. He is always telling us that these things will come against us to prove us. And when we are proven, his hand of protection is upon us, although we're in our final captivity. And this takes you back to your misunderstanding of Paul's letters. But what you don't understand is that Paul's letters, there is good and there is bad. But what leaves you with is you either say that Paul's contradicting himself, Well, there's something to be said there, and that some of the things that you're reading, it doesn't mean that. Now, if you believe that Paul's not contradicting himself, which the scripture does not do, then you have to understand that you are misunderstanding the scriptures, as Peter said. 2 Peter 3:15. Let's look at that. Second Peter 3 and 15, an account that the longsuffering of our Lord, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, as also in all of Paul's letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned are unstable. The unlearned people are unstable, and they rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Meaning that they don't have a foundation of the commandments, because that's why Peter said, if you're unlearned, Peter said, let me read it again. Peter said, which are some things hard to be understood, they that are unlearned. Peter is telling you that Paul's letters are hard to be understood if you don't understand the commandments, the laws, and you're not learned. And what happens is, if you don't know, you will just keep a face value and rest there, because the majority of you just go to church on Sunday and you don't study, and you just take what you hear and you misunderstand it, and it's out of context. And you don't do any studying to understand better what he's saying. That's why Peter's telling you it is not for you to be reading his letters. Why? Because what you have Apostle Paul doing is, he is actually the one in the New Testament that is causing you to be proven to see if you will be steadfast and keep his commandments, or will you look to the left and begin to keep the ways of the pagan Christian and this false Christianity that's being preached and taught today. When they say many false prophets and many false Christs will come in this last hour, are you worshiping Paul and not worshiping and keeping the law? 1 John 3 and 4 tells us that sin is transgressing the law. And Paul knew this, but you take one of Paul's writings, misunderstand it, create a whole doctrine that takes you away from the commandments, that puts you in sin and threatens your life of the possibility of being in hell fire. Teachings are not for the unlearned. You need to get a foundation. And if the foundations be destroyed, what then can the righteous do? It's in Psalms. Let's look at Romans 6 and 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. So if it says sin, it's saying, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Meaning, yeah, you have this choice, but you don't understand that. Well, then that's why we go to Romans 6 and 15. What then? Shall we sin? That means break the commandments, because we're not under the commandments, but under grace. The Most High forbid. Most people will stop at 14 and not understand 15 and move on. When you have to. You understand? When you just have to make choices, or something just has to transpire on the Shabbat because you're doing good. We have grace, but it doesn't mean that you make a 360-degree turn. You make a 180-degree turn. You repent and you continue in the laws, which is why 15 says, God forbid that we continue in sin, meaning that we continue to break the laws and create a lifestyle of eating pork, lobster, crab, shrimp, breaking the Sabbath, talking about it's on Sunday, it's on every day, it's on any day I choose, and not striving to keep the laws that are applicable to us in this captivity. I talk more about that on the Shabbat. You can go in. So it's only when you have to. Let me finish some of these scriptures. Let's look at Galatians 5 and 17. Galatians 5 and 17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. It is your flesh that is keeping you from wanting to keep these laws, because you do not want to discipline yourself and die out to your flesh and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You cannot be a disciple until you discipline yourself. What do you discipline yourself with? There has to be something that you conform to, which are statutes, laws, and commandments. What in the hell, if you're living under grace strictly, do you think you're going to be judged by? When you go to the court of law, do they just look at your character and do a character judgment? Or do they have ordinances within the city that they tell you you've broken in laws and law enforcement officers that will testify on behalf of the state and the city saying that you broke a law? What makes you think the Most High is not going to judge you according to the laws that he's written in your heart that you are declining to keep, and you're defying them, saying, I'm under grace, when clearly Paul is saying that, no, God forbid that we continue in that. Galatians 5 and 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. But see, let's talk about those that are led by the Spirit, okay? See, the law is not for those led by the Spirit, but let me tell you who the law is for. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. These are the people that need the laws. Listen, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of the which I tell you before, I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These are the people that need the laws. It sounds like a Sunday service to me. The whole congregation is loaded with everything that here on this scripture, which is why your altar is filled. And all people do is try to repent, and they go right back to it. But if you don't lead them to the commandments and laws, their repentance is in vain, because they must repent and turn to the statutes, laws, and commandments and be led by the Spirit. The Spirit is wisdom. Wisdom are the commandments, and the commandments are the laws. So if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. But who's being led by the Spirit? Who can sit up here and tell me daily that they're being led by the Spirit? You a lie. I just read a list of things that you fall into every day, and you thank God for grace. Let's look at, you need laws because you're not led by the Spirit. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 11 and 1. I'm moving on. This is kind of a quick lesson because I just want to go through some precepts, refuting some of the foolishness that came towards me, talking about I'm just going to keep on doing what's working for me. And I'm like, it's not working for you. You didn't have triple bypass, strokes, heart attacks. You're working hard. You're in the deception. You're in adultery. You're in fornication. You need to repent and keep these commandments. 1 Corinthians 11 and 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. This is what Paul said. Okay? And we already read Matthew's. Following Christ means what Christ taught about the laws. He said, I didn't come to destroy them. He was keeping them. He kept them. When he ascended up into heaven, the disciples continued to keep the laws. On the seventh day, went to the synagogue on the Sabbath to hear the reading of the laws. This is what people need to understand. You know, we can't continue to sit up here and tell these lies and think that the laws are done away with. 1 John 2, 3, and 4, my favorite scripture that says we do hereby know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Do you hear that? I need to do a Selah pause. We know him. If you don't know if you have a relationship with him because you're not keeping the commandments, we know him if we keep his commandments. But if we say we love him and we keep not his commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. And we know that he's the way, the truth, and the light. Let's take a brief break and I'll be right back after this commercial.
History are doomed to repeat it. The kings of Israel and Judah. Old Testament Israel was unified and ruled by one human for only 120 years of its history. From 1050 to 930 BC, King Saul from the tribe of Benjamin, David from the tribe of Judah, and Solomon each ruled for 40 years. After Solomon's death, the unified kingdom was divided into two distinct entities. different royal lineages. The Most High himself told Solomon that the nation would split into two separate pieces because he caused the people to worship many pagan gods. What made them, and what did ultimately break them? You see, we are a royal people with a royal pedigree. And as we begin to awaken from the curses of Deuteronomy 28 and come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments while under grace, we must remember our forefathers and their sins, all while making relevant the lessons of their leadership, the good and the bad. So join me, Elder V, on Blueprint for Life this Shabbat as we look at the kings of Israel and Judah. You see, this is our legacy, our history of our sojourn. You will be inspired and you will be moved as you learn about your forefathers, the kings of Israel and Judah.
All praises to the Most High. Welcome back to Through Thy Precepts and Get Understanding. Yeah, that is
Geico amazing. Presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of
last week, and we will continue that series starting this Shabbat, Most High willing, going through the kings of Israel and Judah, our forefathers, looking at the heritage. Prior to that, on Thursdays, we do have Straight No Chaser. Ask that you sisters continue to support Heart of a Hebrew Woman. You can find that page on Facebook, something for sister to sister, so y'all can reach out to each other, encourage each other on how important it is to be a virtuous woman. All right, I'm going to continue. Pagan Christian doctrine has built the whole foundation on the misunderstanding and misinterpretation of the scriptures, and Paul has been put there to prove the remnant, to see those that will read it and still understand that they have to keep the commandments, and weed out the ones that say they don't want to keep them, because as it was back in the day, so is it today, that nobody wants to keep these commandments. And you don't even understand that Paul, throughout his writings, oftentimes, and your pastor and your preacher won't tell you this, would tell you when he was speaking of things that he didn't even want you to really pay attention to. Look at 1 Corinthians 7 and 6 when Paul was talking about marriage. Paul said this, listen to this. He said, but I speak this by permission and not of commandment. He knew that he was supposed to be preaching and teaching commandments, but he gave a disclaimer before he gave this next topic from 6 to 12. He said, look, I'm speaking this by permission. The Most High gave me permission to go ahead and say this. So he was only speaking from inspiration, but this was not for him to quote or say he's quoting the Most High. And nobody ever points that out to you, because Paul was a man like you and I, although he was an apostle and called with a special calling, but he was a man. He died a man like you and I. Even if you look at 1 Corinthians 7 and 12, he said, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord. Paul would always give disclaimers and say, look, this is just me talking right now. This is not the Lord. I wish y'all could be like me and not even want to get married. Because he knows that the Most High told us to be fruitful and multiply and to have one wife, and the preacher should be the husband of one wife. He knew he couldn't put that on the Most High. But somebody else will take these scriptures and go out of context and quote everything he's saying and misquote and misunderstanding. Because why? Just as Israel was proven throughout the Torah and back in the day in Deuteronomy coming out of Egypt and going into fight the Hivites and everything else, he said, I'm going to prove you. You're going to choose. And I'm going to know that you choose to keep these commandments. I'm not going to force them on you. And this is the same trap that is being put here with the letters of Paul. And because you're unlearned, as Peter warned in 2 Peter 3:15 and 16, because you're unlearned and you think the Old Testament has no fruition, no substance, no validity, you don't have enough foundation to understand Paul's writings. Romans 1 and 16. I move on, I digress. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Did you hear that? So since you sent up your quote, there's neither Jew nor Greek, let's go to the ones that y'all like to quote first. I don't want to misquote it. But this is the same thing as God so loved the world and the all-inclusive replacement theology stuff that goes on in church. Here we go. Galatians 3 and 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. Now, if I was to take that for face value, then I would sit up here and say, male and female, all the same. It's just one. It's unisex. And we know that is not true. We already see what is obviously stated here, what's plain and what's clear. But this is, once again, me pointing out how somebody can take one thing, not study, and run with it. And Peter told us not to run for face value with Paul's teachings because they're not for the unlearned. Unlearned in what? The statutes, commandments, laws, and ordinances of the Most High. He knew that there had to be a substratum, a foundation, and an understanding before you got into these letters. But now I'm helping you to understand that these letters are to prove you, because our people have not changed from captivity to captivity. They are still the people that do not want to keep his commandments. And the Most High is not going to force us to keep these commandments. And he's going to let you, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear, and eyes to see. You have to have the ruach that causes you to be able to see that these commandments have not been done away with and that we must set precedence in our life. These commandments must take precedence. They must be a priority. You don't look at the scriptures and the writings of Paul to find out if you can go ahead and have a little crab. You don't read the letters of Paul to find out if you can go shopping on Saturday. You don't approach these scriptures to see what it is that you can get away with and don't have to do. You're not a man or woman after the heart of the Most High when you're looking for a leeway, a scapegoat. Is the hour, the second, and the minute that we're looking to do everything, anything, and all we can to do to prove ourselves to the Most High that we're just striving to keep all his commandments, because the Sabbath and these commandments are a sign between us and him, because we are the people, the ones that keep the Sabbath and the commandments, that will go into the kingdom. We're going to read that in a second. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let me show you going outside of that. We just read Romans 1 and 16 where he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So if there's neither Jew nor Greek, why would he say the Jew first? Tells you once again that you don't study. You go to church on Sunday, you listen to what your pastor tells you. He constructs a message, puts it out to you, tells you what he wants you to hear. You believe it, you run with it, you pay your tithes, you're done. You don't study no more until Sunday. My people are destroyed a lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I reject you, your children. Let's prove you some more that Paul's letters can be turned into stepping stones, but they are a stumbling block to most people. Let's see. Well, if we get into 2 and 9, we see him delineating in Romans 2 and 9 to the Jew first and also of the Gentile. You know what I don't like about this scripture? If you're going to try to throw this scripture out at me, then at the same time, why would you tell women they're not supposed to preach and teach in your church? But you're going to throw out Galatians 3 and 28 and say there's neither male nor female. But the moment they get up to preach, you'd be like, oh yeah, I don't believe in women preachers. Which one is it going to be? You are thoroughly confused and use the scriptures for whatever occasion you need them for, because you're not a disciple of the Most High that's willing to discipline himself. That's why you don't understand what the scriptures say. 1 Timothy 2 and 11 says a woman is not supposed to have authority over a man. So how could it be there's neither male nor female? There is male and female in the Most High. What you need to understand is he was saying that we're all baptized into one body. We're all equal once we're in. But even in that body, brothers and sisters, I'm going to give you some of these precepts and you look them up. Even in that body, you must keep the commandments and laws. I'm not going to read all of these. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 through 19 lets us know that there are many parts to the body. And if you go to Deuteronomy 28 and 13, you find out that in this body that Israel is the head of the body. I want you to read 1 Corinthians 12, 13 through 19. That's one precept. Deuteronomy 28 and 13. It's another precept I want you to study. And Deuteronomy 7 and 6. Study that so you understand that we're all baptized into one body. But with the body are different parts that function all together, but there is a head. And we will no longer be the tail, but we will be the head. For it will be the end of Esau's kingdom. Welcome to the end of Esau's kingdom. That's where we are now. Jacob about to step up and show out. It's about to be our time. Go to Revelation 7 and 4. I want you to study that once we get off the airwaves so you can continue in your study this evening, because you've got to stay strong and get some meat throughout the week. You can't just wait for the Shabbat. Study to show yourself approved. Listen to this, Revelation 7 and 4. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. This kingdom that's coming is for the head, and the head will be Israel based upon the scriptures I just gave you. And the ones that will be sealed will be the children of Israel. And you mean to tell me you're going to allow Paul's letters to be a stumbling block when I just showed you that on many occasions Paul would let you know that he was speaking of his own self and not of the I got permission to say this from God. He said, I wish y'all could be like me and not be married, but, you know, do what you got to. And I'm going to say this real quick. Paul always did that, but you don't have enough sense to understand and read the scriptures that those stumbling blocks are stumbling blocks to those that need to be proven. But to you that understand that these commandments are written in your hearts and the importance, it is a stepping stone. You will not be swayed because you are like Peter told you to be. You have a foundation. Your foundation is rooted in the statutes, laws, and commandments, and you are not allowing yourself to be swayed by people misinterpreting the letters of Paul and creating false doctrine, which is the basis of the pagan Christian New Age church of today. There will be a difference between Jew and Greek and Jew and Roman. Revelation 7 and 4 just told you that. And guess what Revelation 21 and 12 said? Revelation 21 and 12 said, and had a wall great and high, and each wall had 12 gates, and at the gates were 12 angels, and the names written thereof, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the gates of the kingdom were only the children of Israel's names and the different tribes. Those are the gates that we will go in, not the Gentiles. So your Galatians 3 and 28 is shot down in Revelations. Now let me go to one of my favorite, Revelations 22 and 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Listen, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. That is the Sabbath. That is the dietary laws. That is everything that is preached and taught to you about these commandments. When you hear it, drop dead and do it, meaning drop dead to your flesh and obey the word, because the Most High has given you an alternative. Moses disobeyed. He didn't go into the kingdom. That whole generation that came out of Egypt, they didn't go into the kingdom. Only Joshua and Caleb, their obedience, their diligence, their faith. We have grace, but not to be abused. God forbid. Sin is 1 John 3 and 4, breaking these statutes, laws, and commandments. If you want to be found, children of Israel, scattered throughout the four corners of the earth, walking in those gates, I suggest you stop using occasion to pull away from the commandments by the misunderstanding of Paul's letters don't quote something to me you don't understand and that you're using out of context. You won't even read a simple verse and understand that it can't be that. Now, if you really want to make it into the kingdom, I suggest you come out of these pagan, lying churches. Pray to the Father and ask him to show you the truth and teach you his commandments, the commandments that Christ did not come to destroy but fulfill. And he said, not one jot, a tittle of this law will pass away until heaven and earth have passed. Heaven and earth is still here. It has not all been fulfilled. There's so much more to come, and it's coming pretty quick. I suggest, brothers and sisters, that you find yourself drawing closer to the Most High in these holy days. Disciples didn't celebrate his birthday. He wasn't born on December 25th. And don't say I'm keeping that just to commemorate it. That's a lie. You're lining yourself up with pagan practices because they're worshiping fallen angels and false gods on that day. They transliterated Easter, took it out. If you look in the concordance, they'll say Easter means Passover. But Easter means Astarte. It's the worship of a pagan goddess. With egg. What eggs and a rabbit got to do with anything with the resurrection? Thanksgiving, the slaughter of the North American Indians, 60 million people, destruction, built the nation upon blood. Amos talks about a nation that was built upon blood. They will build up, but I will throw down. This earth is about to be, this land is about to be destroyed. Now, if you want to be serious, Paul's letters and say, Paul told me I don't have to do that. You want to die, and trust me, you will, because the bombs are going to drop. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord so that we can find ourselves able to dial 911. Oh, what 911 I'm talking about? Psalms 911. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my fortress. And then it goes on to say 1,000 will fall at that left, 10,000 at that right. We're going to be seeing people passing out, falling from pandemics and everything to the left and right. It's not going to touch us. Why? Because we're focused on the commandments, worship, faith, no fear, serving him. Scripture told me to cry out loud, spare not. You ain't going. If you stuck in Sunday worship and you keeping pagan holidays and you trying to tell me that I'm teaching some newfound religion or doctrine, I'm teaching precept upon precept this word because your pastor lied to you. And the scripture said that the time would come we would say our fathers have taught us lies. I feel for them because they taught lies because they learned it in slavery when they allowed them to preach on Sundays and they just passed it on down. And that's what you're caught up into, religion and tradition. Now humble yourself and relearn or else yourself in the lake of fire. I'm Elder V. This is V the Preacher. I'm glad you joined me tonight on Through Thy Precepts I Get Understanding. Just wanted to break down, spread the word. Be vigilant, be sober. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith you have been made free. The only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. The truth is a journey, not a destination. Shalom, brothers and sisters. Peace and blessings. Have a good evening. I'll be on line tomorrow with Straight No Chaser.
Grace is not given to the swift, but the battle to the strong. So what you gonna do? Give up? Ain't no turning back now. That's press.
What? Don't step into your race. Higher ground. Don't let nobody